Welcome to the big interview on today's edition of Money Life. I am joined right now by David Wright, lead portfolio manager for the Sierra Mutual Funds. He's co-founder of Sierra Investment Management, which has over $4 billion in assets under management. You can learn more about the firm at sierrainvestment.com. You can learn more about the funds at sierramutualfunds.com. David Wright, great to have you back on Money Life.
Yeah, wonderful to be here on holiday week, Chuck.
David joins me on the Gainbridge Hotline. The multi-year guaranteed annuity available through Gainbridge offers competitive rates starting at 2.3%. Whether you're planning for retirement or saving for a specific target like a home or college, Gainbridge can help you achieve your goals. Learn more at gainbridge.life. David, these are market conditions that none of us really could have imagined. I mean, heck, back in September and October, what everybody was imagining was how bad and how ugly things were going to get before the holidays. And instead, it has been like just the perfect runway up to the holidays. Now people are worried that maybe come Christmas time, or maybe it'll be in January, that things might get ugly. Are you worried that there's a turn for the worse coming?
Well, we don't worry at Sierra, because for 34 years, our policy has been to have a stop loss on under every single holding. But it's true, December tends to be okay for the stock market. It's seldom a rocky month for stocks. But it is surprising that January has seen a number of tops. In other words, the turn down that led to multi-month declines and occasionally worse. So seasonality favors us for the next 6 weeks or so. And then it's much less certain. And as you know, there's a lot of risk factors. I think any of your viewers can tick off five or six, including the record debt that the government's taking on, the uncertainty about what Congress is going to do with the debt level. And it's just a tough time to be optimistic and realistic. We're seeing measures of sentiment that haven't been seen since 20 years ago, at least. Some of the other metrics of the U.S. stock market are higher than any time since the early 2000 high, which led to a 32-month bear market. So no one can predict a bear market with certainty or even high probability. And certainly any kind of technical measures or even sentiment measures are not a really good timing tool. But when the market gets this overvalued, history says that the overvaluation is an awfully good indicator of how far down it could go. So it's important for your viewers to be cautious now. At least that would be my recommendation. Nobody likes to take a round trip where you buy at $50 and you see it go up to $75 and then it turns around and heads down. Downward is always faster than upward, and all of a sudden it's back at 50. Nobody likes that. So I really recommend that people at this time put stops under their largest holdings and maybe some stops under their riskiest holdings, and they'll be geniuses. They're not selling because they're worried, and if the market continues up, that'll be great. Move up your stops, and if the market turns down, you'll be a genius because you didn't take the round trip.
Every time we talk about stops on this show, it fascinates a lot of people, but they don't necessarily know how they should set them or what have you. So are you setting trailing stops? And if so, how far off? In other words, a trailing stop for my audience is something that basically says, if the stock keeps moving up, we're going to sell when it's off, say, 7% or 10%. And if the stock goes up, the stop goes up with it. It trails that stock price up, but it's always set at a certain level. So how big is that gap that you're wanting to see that stops you out?
Perfect question. I published an article 30 years ago on this exact question. So many of your listeners hold index funds for participation in the broad U.S. stock market. Under an index fund, if you set your initial stop 8% below the highest daily close, that'll be good. And you don't have to raise it every day. We do. But that's because we have computer programs that do it for us. But maybe every Friday, you look at the market, and if it's been up that week, raise your stop. So 8% under an index fund. As to individual stocks, you know, it varies a lot. You're not going to have General Motors in a normal market turn down 10% in a matter of a couple days. But for individual stocks, you do need to have wider bands to be realistic and not have false alarm whipsaws. So I'd be sensible. And, you know, for your sophisticated audience, because they listen to a lot of different views and they're very attentive and they watch their portfolios more closely than the average investor, set a 50% stop, 50% of your riskiest holding in any given stock in their biggest holdings. Set a 50% stock at 7% below the top, and then the second stop 10 or 11% below the highest close.
You just answered my next question before I got a chance to answer it, which is, when you were looking at things that you liked on the way up, do you stop out in steps? And the answer is yes, you do.
Yeah. And so we use an interim stop on ETFs because that stop is in the market. So if the market really craters on a given day, we'll get stopped out halfway through. Whereas with mutual funds, you only get the closing price. If that travels through your stop hard, deeply during the course of the day. So with ETFs, yeah, definitely use an interim stop. And with individual stocks, you can do the same. We invest primarily in mutual funds, so our stop system is more sophisticated, and we do update every stop every single day.
When you are being stopped out, you're going to cash. I'm curious, what percentage of your portfolio is in cash right now?
Right now, we're virtually 100% invested, and that's because we never worry about what's going to happen. We know that the stops for 34 years have been extremely effective and extremely protective, even during extended bear markets. So I guess I would say that this is going to be sufficient for protection for your clients, your listeners.
Yes, they are my listeners, not my clients. Your clients, potentially, but not mine.
Right.
In terms of this market, with a strategy like the one that you use, how much do factors like inflation not change what you do, but maybe change where you set the portfolio or decide what your allocations are going to be? As you point out, you use ETFs. So you're basically saying, hey, I want this sector or this business or whatever it is. How much are things changing because of inflation and interest rate pressures right now?
Yeah, really, really important question. The market always anticipates changes in interest rates and the impact of inflation. So everything we worry about or think about is already in the market. There are large teams of rocket scientists and math PhDs in London, in Dubai, in Singapore, and so forth, with giant computers that are taught to learn through artificial intelligence everything that is known or could be known about the bond market. So inflation is already baked into today's bond prices, and it hasn't really been very volatile in the bond market. Inflation has been creeping. It's at a 30-year high, as your listeners know. It's even higher for a lot of your listeners. I know you have a number that are in states where heating oil is going to be a big factor and eat into their other disposable income. But the markets are pretty calm. The bond markets are pretty calm. We're seeing a rise in municipal bonds. If I were putting money into something today, I would think about municipal bonds. Nuveen High Yield Bond Fund, the symbol is NHMRX, is our favorite. We have sometimes 100, 150 million in that one mutual fund. But it's a great thing to own for people with taxable accounts. Proprietary secret, we use munis even in IRAs and tax-deferred accounts. Because if it's going up at 12% a year temporarily, why not own it in an IRA? There's no penalty. You just don't get the tax advantage of the tax-free dividends So anyway, muni bonds would be something I'd be looking at today instead of looking for any form of equities.
Interesting. So you are fully invested, but you're not fully invested in equities. And what percentage right now? What's your stock bond balance?
It depends on the portfolio. We have one strategy which does, in fact, move out of high-yield bonds into long-duration treasuries instead of cash. And that's been our most successful, most productive portfolio, still with very limited drawdown and volatility. But in our most diversified accounts, we are about 30% in domestic and foreign common stock, plus some preferred stock and other stock proxies. Our newest fund, which was launched about 5 months ago, is currently 49% in domestic and foreign equities.
Well, David, it's really interesting to get your take on the market. Thanks, as always, for coming to do this. We will talk to you as we're seeing how it plays out in 2022. So happy holidays, and I look forward to the next conversation already.
Well, thank you very much, and a real pleasure. Have a happy Thanksgiving yourself.
That's David Wright. He is the lead portfolio manager at Sierra Investment, well, Sierra Mutual Funds. He's co-founder of Sierra Investment Management. It's sierrainvestment.com, sierramutualfunds.com to learn about the individual funds. Up next, Greg McBride from bankrate.com will be here. We'll be talking about retirees or people who maybe won't be retirees. Yeah, don't miss this.